When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
AJ, do not cut that out.
Okay.
Well, hello there, buddy.
We're going to keep, that's how we're going to introduce this whole thing. I wish I knew his.
Such a fan.
Old time hockey, you guys. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Confused Breakfast Podcast. Do you remember the pure joy of a trip to the video rental store as a kid?
Yep.
The excitement of walking down the aisles, browsing the names and the artwork, and finally deciding on the movie you were going to take home with you? Sure, it's hard to beat the ease of the modern era and streaming platforms where you don't even have to leave your house. But there was something truly special about making that trip as a child, picking a movie out by hand, and explaining the chaos theory to the movie store clerk using her soft hands. I'm stretching on the these, right?
Well done.
Holy shit, dude. Well done. This podcast, we revisit and dissect some of our favorite childhood movies from that magical era to see if they still move us the way they did as kids. I'm your host, Mike Schulte, and joining me as always, paleontologist AJ Venz and paleobotanist Sean Breyer. How the heck are you guys?
I'm great, man. I've been planting a lot. I have been actually getting into a lot of plants. I have a, I don't know what it is, but I named it Felipe Flappers, and the leaves on it are kind of thick, and I like to flap them, and they look like penguin flappers, you know. And then I have a Monstera who's really young, and it's really fun. One's sprouting right now, and so.
AJ, how are you, man?
Sean's becoming one of those guys, isn't he?
I know.
All right,
he's domesticated now.
You know, I'm doing okay. You know, I'm picking up my dinosaur fossils, and I'm just trying to do me, and
yeah,
and that's what I'm doing. I don't need all the distractions and things. You know,
the Monstera's names is Richard Ramirez because Monsteras are usually a Spanish kind of plant. They were originally from a Spaniard.
Well, enough of that. So glad to have you guys here with us today.
Right.
Before we get started, I want to tell you about a few ways you can support us, the Confused Breakfast, in our efforts while honoring those that have supported before you.
Jesus.
I know, right? Let's talk review time, baby.
Review time!
All right, so this comes from Apple Podcasts, X-Lifer X. Whoa. Solid gold content is what it's called.
Solid gold.
Best content I've seen/heard in years.
Whoa.
Great TikTok account.
Thank you.
This person is so spot on. Amazing TikTok account.
Yes. Yeah, you're right.
In fact,
right.
We're like getting really close to 100K. So if you have a TikTok and you don't like us, go do it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Lifer X.
That was it?
X Lifer X, that was it.
Just like great content.
Short and sweet. Great content.
Thank you very much. I hope that you are a lifer for this podcast.
We X Lifer X, dude.
Yeah.
This one comes from C Barnes 8842, titled I Am Hooked. Also, that Mike Schulte guy is pretty neat. I heard he was from St. Louis, which is really pretty neat. St. Louis is a pretty neat town. This podcast is really neat. Can I please request a movie review? Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. That would be neat.
It's going to happen.
That is my cousin, Chris.
Okay.
From St. Louis. He's a neat guy.
It's going to happen. We kind of touched on it a little bit in what the fuck movie did we do that had an association with that?
I don't know. But we talk a lot about Rick Moranis.
Rick Moranis, our Lord and Savior.
We haven't done a Moranis movie yet.
So is that going to be our intro to Rick Moranis?
Probably,
movies?
Unless Halloween rolls around and we do a Ghostbusters.
Which we probably will. So it just depends on whether we do it before Ghostbusters.
That's true.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Chris. Thanks, LiferX.
Thank you so much.
We're freaking glad you're here. Guys are listening, one of the great, it's like currency to us, leaving reviews. We love it. We love when you leave reviews. Hit us on Apple Podcasts, Facebook. Tell us how much you're loving it. And if you can't leave a review, you're a Spotify nerd, just tell a friend.
Yeah.
Say, hey, friend, listen to this.
Totes.
You're doing them a great thing.
Totes.
You can also call and leave us a voicemail. This one's It's a little touchy, you know.
Okay.
We have our funny ones, like Big Andy last week,
okay.
And we get a couple that just like make you feel real nice. So, well, let's check out this week's voicemail. Here we go.
All right. Okay.
Hey guys, my name is Kelly. I just became a fan not too long ago. I first saw y'all's posts on TikTok, and I was so excited because y'all were reviewing Breakfast Club. But that's not why I'm calling and leaving a voicemail. I just want to tell y'all that my dad had a stroke March 19th, and then I found y'all's TikTok the next day, and y'all have really helped me get through, you know, my dad and all that stuff. He's doing much better today, but I just want to say thank you to all three of y'all for reviewing some of my favorite shows and favorite movies and having the exact same thoughts that I did while watching them. So thank you so much for keeping me sane when I was not. So keep up the good work, guys. I absolutely love this podcast so much, and I think y'all are doing an awesome job. Bye.
That right there is what we do this for right now.
Mike, you can't drop those on like that, man.
Sometimes I play them for you ahead of time. I'm just going to drop them, man.
Yeah.
But also, contrary to popular belief, we do have female fans.
Hey.
I was thinking that while she was talking.
Is your only takeaway on this?
No, that was just, I'm trying to lighten the mood. I see some tears in your eyes, I guess, you know.
Oh, man. No, that's, boy, that's, like I say, that's a really touching thing. That's really, really heartwarming I'm glad to hear everything is going, positive.
Yes,
now
very,
you know,
important.
That's all that matters to me, is that everything is going positive now. So
that's really good to hear. Thank you so much for saying that. Thanks for reaching out. You don't have to do that. And God damn it. We never thought like starting stupid shit like this would ever like touch anybody like that or anything. I don't know. I don't know what more you could say. We just do our stupid yuck yucks, and to have people appreciate it and get them through some hard times, that's even more of a bonus. And thank you so much for saying that.
I didn't realize it was going to be this way, but it truly is like a little safe space community, right? Where you can be a part of all this with us, and you can forget what's going on with your life and just have some laughs and hang out with some guys that are friends and that think the same things you do. So it's pretty awesome to have everybody here. And thanks for that voicemail. Another way, if you want
to
kind of
join,
we'll
be keeping you in our thoughts, Kelly. Cheers to you very much.
Cheers to you. And
yeah.
Hell yes. Let us know that everything's going all right. And you can also join us up on Patreon. That's kind of a way that you can, if you're not leaving voicemails or reviews, but you want to throw us a little support for what we've been doing for you, you can join the Patreon. Multiple tiers, lots of cool ways to interact. You get extra weekly content that nobody else gets to hear. You get to vote on upcoming movie episodes, which this was a Patreon pick today.
Yeah.
They strictly voted on this. So go to patreon.com/confusedbreakfast. This is our list of pretty much the best people around, because they are our top tier supporters on Patreon.
Are they the best?
They are. I feel like there's something we got to say about them after this. But Dane, Joel, Jordan, Nick Marula, Alicia, Camden Griffith, Francisco Rivera, Cameron J, Kirlana, Big Andy,
Big
Bud
Big
Larson,
Andy,
Anita Richard, Travis Hunziker, Brian Hernandez, Nick Fulkerson, Kale James, Senior Frog, Mr. and Mrs. Roommate, Greg Jackson, Jason Davis, Daniel Skaggs, Emilio Perez, and Skylar Brunson. You guys. You truly are. So thank
you. True.
Thanks to everybody who's left voicemails. We'll
Mike's
get to you eventually.
Wearing a Cobra Kai shirt right now.
Never dies, dude.
Cobra Kai never dies.
Mm.
So what do you say we move on? You know, we get through it, and then we move forward with what we got to talk about.
Yes.
That's right, baby.
Business at hand.
It is time to introduce today's movie. On this episode, we're going to discuss the movie that took something we loved as young kids and scared the fuck out of us by bringing dinosaurs to life. The first movie in a franchise that made more than $5 trillion at the worldwide box office with its five total movies. With another one set to be released in 2022, we go back to the beginning where it all started. We are, of course, talking about 1993's Jurassic Park. Yeah.
Oh.
You like that? I just let it fade all the way down. For those of you looking to get a refresher on the movie quick, again, I feel bad, but you can feel free to pause. Check out Jurassic Park before we get into this. There's no free streaming apps that has that out there.
They want that money, bro.
They want that money. Again, this is the middle of July, so maybe if you're listening to this at a different date and time, it might be available, but otherwise you're going to have to buy that on Amazon. Get that old VHS out. But let's start her up, Sean. He usually hooks us up with the pertinent, important background info on the movie before we dive deep on this. Sean, what do you got, buddy?
Produced by Kathleen Kennedy and Gerald R. Molin. Written by Michael Crichton and David Koepp. Based off the novel by Michael Crichton. Music by John Williams. Cinematography by Dean Cundey. Along with John Williams doing all of Steven Spielberg movies, pretty much, and being one of the most prolific composers of all time. Dean Cundey got his start pretty much doing a lot of John Carpenter movies, like Halloween and Escape from New York, The Thing, one of the best shot movies of all time. Dean Cundey is a legendary cinematographer and shot the fuck out of this movie. editing by Michael Kahn, production design by Rick Carter, special makeup effects by Stan Winston himself, and directed by Steven Spielberg. Cast, Sam Neill, Laura Dern, Jeff Goldblum, Samuel L. Jackson, Richard Attenborough, Bob Peck, Martin Ferreira, B.D. Wong, Wayne Knight, Joseph Mazzella, Ariana Richards. Crichton started writing his novel in 1989, and Spielberg was already working with Crichton on an ER movie kind of script.
That was really interesting to hear.
Yeah. Tim Burton, Richard Donner, and Joe Dante were all scratching at the bit for the chance to do this movie, but Universal Pictures purchased the rights and Spielberg to direct. Spielberg was going to be off to direct Schindler's List after directing Hook. Universal greenlit Schindler's List, but told Spielberg he had to make Jurassic Park first.
Wow.
So he was literally balancing this movie, the post-production of this movie, along with the pre-production of Schindler's List.
Wow.
Schindler's List being a movie about the fucking Holocaust.
Yes.
He's on record as saying he made this movie with his craft and Schindler's List with his heart.
Jeez.
It's fucking brilliant, man.
Wow.
Universal paid Crichton $500,000 to adapt his own novel, and David Koepp was eventually brought in to do rewrites and to tone down violence as well as make the characters more whole and colorful. Spielberg employed Stan Winston for the practical effects and ILM for all of the computer effects. So ILM does all the Star Wars movies and everything like that. Most Steven Spielberg movies. Stan Winston is a legendary effects artist in the makeup field with doing like Pumpkinhead. I think he directed Pumpkinhead actually, but also did some work on Aliens, I think, is Jim Cameron's movie. William Shirt, no. William Hurt and Harrison Ford were initially
Williams Hurt.
Williams Hurt.
Williams Hurt. He's hurt really bad.
Williams. Bill's Hurt.
Not cutting that out.
William Hurt and Harrison Ford were initially up for the role of Grant. Oh. Jim Carrey also auditioned for a role, but didn't get it.
I mean, thank you. It's good.
I can't.
Jim Carrey auditioned for this role?
For a role.
A role.
Not sure if it was Grant or not.
AJ, how many times have we gone through this? If you're a leading man during the time period, like you were thought of for the role.
I get it, but the only one I could see is him behind those goddamn transition lenses of fucking
Goldblum. Yeah. That's all right, I had to be the role he auditioned for.
That is one massive load of shit.
Perfect.
Now that is one massive load of shit.
You got it.
Robin Wright turned down the role of Ellie, so I guess she was offered first, but Robin Wright's a saint. Jenny herself from Forrest Gump.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
After 25 months...
Jenny, to be clear, Jenny is not a saint. Jenny's a piece of shit.
That's
she's
true.
She's the actress, worst person on earth.
Correct. Yeah. I just wanted to clarify.
No, yeah.
You might be worse than David Morgan.
Might be. And it's also Jenna.
So. Sorry.
You're right.
After 25 months of pre-production, filming began on August 24th, 1992, on the Hawaiian island of Kauai. Mid-September, the crew moved to California for most of the interior scenes and set pieces. Production wrapped 12 days ahead of schedule on November 30th, which amazes me. Like, this dude, Steven Spielberg, I mean, obviously, when you think of directors, even if you're the layman of movies, you know, you think of directors, like, you think the word director, like Steven Spielberg.
Yeah.
You know? Like, yeah. E.T., like,
absolutely.
There's a copy of E.T. I'm looking at right here. Most of Spielberg's...
it's right there. You're right.
I had to point it out.
As prolific as Empire Records, apparently.
Actually, never noticed that we've had VHS copies of movies sitting on the table for all 40-something episodes.
This is my nostalgia bank right here, guys. And we can add to it as we need to.
So. The first episode we ever recorded, I noticed this. And I was like, that's sweet, AJ. That's really cool. He's excited about this podcast. Yeah.
And it's nice to know that Mike's never noticed the gesture. So
no, I have. Listen.
That's good.
Most of Spielberg's notes were made from Poland as he was there filming Schindler's List while seeing dailies and rough cuts from Jurassic Park. The film finally completed on May 28th, 1993. The film opened up June 11th, 1993 and raked in $47 million in its first weekend, eventually grossing $357 million, and would go on to win 3 Oscars, including Best Sound, Best Effects, and Best Visual Effects.
Damn.
And that is what I have so far.
Snap.
One thing before we move on, that very rarely do we talk about the cover art of a movie, but unbelievably iconic, that mm-hmm. black and red Jurassic Park logo.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And also, I don't know if you read that, but technically, the dinosaurs were from the Cretaceous period and not the Jurassic period.
Oh, bastards.
And people call them out on that. But I mean, to be real, like Jurassic Park sounds way better than Cretaceous Park.
I'm walking out of here.
No, they're from the Cretaceous period.
Well, technically. I just want to bring that up. Before we move on, we're going to deep dive into this movie. We like to strip away the nostalgia, but to strip it away, we need to talk about it first. Yes. We need to talk about the first time we saw this movie, what we thought about it, what our rating was. So I'm going to start with AJ on this one. AJ, come on. Tell me about the first time, AJ. And what the rating was.
Starting with me. You're right. A part of me feels like I saw this in theaters, but I can't say that positively. This had to have been a VHS rental later on down the road, and I think it was a family affair, and it was a big deal. And we mom and dad even popped the popcorn and threw the little extra little bit of butter in there that they melted down, and some M&Ms, and it was a real special treat.
Sons, gather around. This is a Spielberg movie.
That's right. This is goddamn Spielberg. You're about to learn about cinema. And but I'm pretty sure it was just kind of like this family affair kind of movie night. You know, my mom would try to, you know, do these things and have my dad there because he fucking worked I don't know how many hours a day. And he's like, you know, you're going to be here for it. So and he wanted to watch this movie. So it was great. You know, I loved it. There wasn't a time that I didn't think about this movie as just like iconic and special, and the music made it all the better. And this movie when I was a kid was wonderful. 8.5.
Yeah. 8.5. Yeah. What about you, Sean?
Yeah, man. Somewhere around there. I don't think I saw it in theaters. I definitely was stoked as fuck to see the sequel. And I remember camping at a campsite when I was younger, and they had we'll get to this when we do Lost World, but they had a special cereal come out for the movie itself, and I was eating that and knowing that we were going to go see it later on in the day. So I was so stoked for it because I loved the original so much. VHS somehow. This was just one of the the rotations of movies that we watched. Like, yep. E.T. was there too.
Oh.
Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Like, a lot of Spielberg movies were just played in the house. And like Terminator 2, it's not Spielberg, but whatever.
Cameron, you know.
Yeah. About same thing.
Prolific.
Same thing.
But yeah, man, it's one of those movies that is just one of the greatest movies of all time when you're a kid, because it's dinosaurs and it's just action. And so I was probably, I loved movies, so 8. I'd be like an 8.
AJ, I don't know how the fuck you gave it such a high. This movie scared the fuck out of me. It
scared the shit out of me too.
But you're always like, ooh, Hocus Pocus was so scary, I give it a 3. Like, Jurassic Park, you fucking gave an 8.5?
Literal monsters running around.
I gave Hocus Pocus probably a 3 because it was a fucking movie for girls, okay? But no, this is fucking terrifying, but it still had badasses running around.
See, that's, this was a VHS for me for sure. This was a rental, and I'm more like a 5.5 because... while there were really cool things about this movie, there were skippable moments. I don't want to see some of these things.
Sure.
It was frightening. Again, like I said...
adults are talking, kind of, too? Or is that what you skipped over?
No, I would skip over, like...
the scary parts.
The velociraptors and everything. Like, we'll talk about a bunch of the scary moments, but... It was just like I didn't have a desire to like rewatch it that much. But there's a scary part. Yeah. I don't want to rewatch it.
Yeah.
Granted, I was fucking 12. I should have got over with it, but it was scary. I was scared of Independence Day. Okay, guys, like
that's valid.
The moment it started to rain, I was fucking terrified of this movie.
Terrified.
So was the T-Rex. What was your rating though?
5.5. Yeah, I was just like.
So it was low because it was spooky.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
The rewatchability of it was a little tough.
It was rough. Okay.
There were amazing things about it. This is my kid rating. Okay. We will get into our adult non-nostalgia ratings here later. But before we get going on that, AJ always hooks us up with some research. He gives us ratings and reviews. I'm guessing this is like critically acclaimed.
It 3, 2, 1. The Tomato Meter. That's right. I did it again, bitches. Jurassic Park on the Tomato Meter. I know. How do I do this? 92% on the Tomato Meter, gents. Wow.
Just for reference.
Where does that rank, Mike?
So 92. Dazed and Confused was also a 92.
Wow.
Yeah. And that, I believe, 94 for Speed.
Whoa.
I can't believe that.
Wait.
Speed got a 94 from the critics.
Fuck yeah, dude. Tomato Meter?
Yes, on Tomato Meter. What? And Big is still our leader with 97.
Okay.
So there you go.
I can't believe that.
Well, I wonder, I don't know
These
if
are
we,
critics. These are just critics.
These are criticals. Certified Fresh on the Tomato Meter, 92% for Jurassic Park. Audience scores 91%.
That's wow. That almost match up right there is very rare.
Correct. So that was a big thing.
So wait, time out. Are we in the eights on IMDb?
I don't know, are we?
Is this our first eight?
What's your guess?
I'm going to say...
there's no way. Like 7.9.
7.9 and 3/4.
8.1.
Whoa! We got it!
We did it!
We did it! Are you serious? We never thought we were going to see eight.
Holy shit.
And we did.
I guess our first Spielberg would have done it.
8.1 out of 10 in IMDb land. 68 Metascore.
Oh.
68 on Metascore.
Wah, wah.
I'm going to give you one critical on this, and that is our boy Raj.
Hey. Coming in
hot from the Chicago Sun-Times.
Wiener.
He didn't even give it the highest rating.
Sorry, what?
What? say again, Mike. 75 out of 100. He wasn't even the highest rating on here. But Roger Ebert said, the movie delivers all too well on its promise to show us dinosaurs. We see them early and often, and they are indeed a triumph of special effects artistry. But the movie is lacking other qualities that it needs even more, such as a sense of awe and wonderment, and strong human story values. I wanted to touch base on this for the fact that, as we've already kind of covered, audiences love this movie, okay? Yeah. I'm not going to go through a bunch of 10-star, 10 out of 10 reviews for you guys, okay? We all know that people love this
movie.
We
understand.
It's prolific for what it did, and especially for the time, what it did.
There's only one series that is more prolific. It's Fast and the Furious.
You're right.
Otherwise,
100%,
Jurassic
bro.
Park has taken over.
Totes, bro.
If this film was about family, it would have been taken off.
I'm gonna grab my...
The dinosaurs family, bro.
I'm going to grab my Cerveza bottle. My Cerveza bottle by the neck to take a drink.
he did. And, he did that.
So, but I want to hit you with some negative ones because I thought, this is Jurassic Park. How can there be negatives, right? Well, there was.
This is what I want to hear. This is what I came for.
So this is a person. It's almost like they re-edited their thing. And I'll just give you some finer points, okay? Because they say starting out, first of all, possible spoilers ahead.
Just in case you came here to read the reviews
just
before you hit the movie.
Just want to be really careful.
Maybe they're here. He does. They just say, so maybe 1 out of 10 is a bit harsh, but this film bored me to tears.
Wow.
Bored in tears. I remember seeing this in the cinema and its initial release and damn near falling asleep. Then, so I hired the DVD today. Must have ordered it.
What?
November 2014. See if I was just suffering from the hype back in the day.
I hired a man to bring me the DVD.
Correct. The dinosaur effects are good. The whole "we can, but should we" moral messages here too. This is where it gets annoying for me. They start pinpointing things. The sick Triceratops is somewhat pointless touch. The ability to get out of the tour vehicle and wander around the animals is strange. You could see and do this. You couldn't do this in a regular animal park, and let alone one filled with resurrected prehistoric creatures. Just suspend reality a little bit, man. That's all you got to do. And they also had a problem with, like, giving all the power to this one guy you shouldn't have, and it's like, it's just not good. All right, let's do some 1-star reviews, okay? 1 out of 10 on April 29th of 2020. Boring. It used to be one of the originals.
April 29th in 2020.
In 2020.
We're going through a fucking pandemic.
Fucking pandemic. And this guy decides to write this review.
I watched this movie during the pandemic.
Yeah. How'd you feel?
Amazing.
Great. And it used to be one of the originals. I loved this as a kid, but watched it last night and it was ever so boring. It only had a total of 10 minutes of interesting parts. The rest of it is just jibber-jabber people talking a lot of crap. How can this film even score as high as an 8? It's a bloody 1 out of 10.
From Australia, maybe?
Something like
England,
that.
England, maybe?
1 out of 10. Last one for you guys, okay? Not a good movie at all.
Oh.
This is from Baxter.
Gotcha.
On January 30th of 2002. I see that the majority of the comments here rate Jurassic Park as a masterpiece or something of similar dignity. I would like to express a somewhat different view. Jurassic Park is a really bad movie. In fact,
that is different.
You bet.
Shocking.
In fact, it is one of the few I have rated a 1 on this website. The only thing not easily predictable in the simple-minded plot are the holes in it. All characters are acting stupid. Sure, the dinos look good, but that is not enough to lift it from the bottom of the bottom. If you enjoy laughing at inconsistent plots, this one is a good choice for a video evening. Otherwise, it is not.
Video well, Madrugies. Video well.
If you're trying to find the worst movie ever, you've come to the right place.
Fuck you. I just don't get it. Like, how you can be so upset with, like, this isn't, like, there's in no realm is this a bad movie.
No.
I'm going to say that it can be scary to you.
Yeah.
Some parts can annoy you. Some, like, you could pick it apart as far as you want, but in no regard is this necessarily a, like, bad movie. Bottom of the bottom.
No.
Right? So, I don't know.
I'm sorry to put you through that every week, man.
Thanks.
I know it's tough.
He's driving. He's,
I know it's
he's
tough,
losing
man.
It, kind of.
Just give me another fucking.
AJ's cried twice tonight in this episode. Well, hey, before we get started, though, I want to give a quick shout out to our sponsor, Cedar Ridge Distillery. As this podcast started to catch on, we had numerous companies reach out to us about being a sponsor. I mean, like...
Several. Walmart.
Walmart, Target, then Schwinn. Was like, well, Walmart did it, it's Target. Schwinn. Oh, dude, yeah. Applebee's came in.
Yep. Kmart.
Dude, Costco.
Costco, too.
If it was Costco, we're on fucking Costco.
I know,
like, we're going
I know,
with Costco.
But it doesn't overlap with this sponsor. We knew we wanted to partner with someone local, and we definitely knew we wanted to rep somebody that we actually used and loved. So partnering up with Cedar Ridge Distillery was a no-brainer for us. One of the fastest-growing whiskey companies in America, who was named Distillery of the Year in 2017, which is made right in our backyard, and we do truly love all their products, from the quintessential American single malt, their whiskey collaboration with Slipknot.
People equal shit! People equal shit!
And of course, the flagship bourbon, which I am drinking right now. If you're in Iowa or around the Midwest, you can likely find some at your favorite local establishments. If you want to give it a shot but are elsewhere in the country, like a few of our friends have reached out so far, you can order online at cedarridgewhiskey.com. We truly hope you'll make it a point to grab some of this delicious whiskey. Honestly, I have a glass every night. It just calms me down from the shit of the world. It makes me feel warm inside, especially like on a nice winter's evening.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh,
but yeah. I mean, truly, we're so glad that you're going to check them out. We're so happy to have them supporting our podcast. So leave us a message. Tell us what you think. If you grabbed a bottle, we want to hear all about it.
Totally.
And of course, you need to enjoy it responsibly.
Absolutely. Please. CedarRidgeWhiskey.com.
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 We're going to get one of these days. We're going to find one that's like, they're going to say, can we use that?
Okay. Yeah. Can we actually borrow that?
That's a great voice you got there.
Well, boys, what do you say? We harness the wonderful power of genetics, buy an island, bring an ancient creature back to life, invite our friends and family to the island, and then wonder why everything went wrong.
Just because we can doesn't mean we should.
Hold on to your butts. Here we go. Industrialist John Hammond has created a theme park of cloned dinosaurs called Jurassic Park on an island off the Costa Rican coast. After a dinosaur handler is killed by a velociraptor, the park's investors demand that experts visit the park and certify its safety. Hammond makes a trip to a dig site to personally invite paleontologist Dr. Alan Grant and paleobotanist Dr. Ellie Sattler to come to the island. The park's attorney invites mathematician and chaos theorist Ian Malcolm. They are transported to the island via helicopter and are shocked to see a live Brachiosaurus.
Ooh. Right away, man. John Williams' score.
Yeah.
It's just, so his scores, like even watching Jaws or Close Encounters or anything like that, anything that he does with Spielberg, it just seems like it doesn't seem like a man made it. It just seems like the movie existed along with that score. So do you know what I mean?
That's a really great way to put it.
Like, especially because we've watched these movies throughout childhood, it just seems like that theme.
Yes.
That theme is just ingrained in my heart and in my mind and in my soul, really. Like, it's just, I don't know how he does it, dude.
Every movie has some iconic song
it's
that just becomes its own entity.
Yeah.
It's just like, yo, John, you didn't have to go that hard, bro. Like, yeah. Bro, it's a dinosaur movie, man. Like,
No. Fuck. We're going hard.
Okay, you didn't have to go that hard, though. But there was like a couple of moments where like it makes these transitions that make you feel emotional.
Yes.
And you're just like, I'm just watching dudes fly on a helicopter or some shit. You know, like, I don't know. And then you get John Hammond, who's, welcome to Jurassic Park. Yeah. He's just like, oh man, it's like cozy almost.
Yeah,
it's too cozy for this movie.
So happy to be
here. That right now.
The scene right away is them trying to transition or like transfer a raptor,
velociraptor, yep,
from cage to cage or something like that, and one of them gets all pulled up and eaten and stuff like that.
It seems like the safety protocols a little bit like lax on this. Like,
a little bit.
All right, Jim, we're going to need you to get up there. Jim, just climb on top.
Yep.
Just pull open the gate. We don't need to knock. We don't need to lock this down.
You don't need
anything.
Me to lock this down?
No.
Okay.
No. Just pull the gate up. I promise everything will be fine.
Okay. All right. Are you pushing it out right now? Yeah, we're pushing out. Just stand clear. All right. Come on this way. Keep coming.
I'm coming.
And then death.
Keep coming. Boom. If this was a fucking lion, there would have been like all the extra precautions.
Yeah, but it's
man.
Just a velociraptor.
Oh, is that all?
It's just a velociraptor.
I mean, Mike, you and I have seen Tiger King. We know how that goes.
Correct.
Like, you can get an arm ripped off.
Yeah.
You know, we can see that happen.
And so no security protocol. And actually, I don't know if you noticed that at the beginning, it says rated PG-13.
Yeah.
And then usually it describes why. It's like smoking, nudity, or whatever. Do you know what the description was for this?
I wonder.
Intense science fiction terror.
So that's...
Holy
Spielberg can
fucking
get away.
Nailed it.
So aliens.
Nailed it.
Gotcha.
Spielberg can get away with this shit. Like, there's a severed arm that you see clearly in this movie. There's several, like,
pelvic floor just dropped.
What? But yeah, like Spielberg, like he's the inventor of PG-13, so like he gets away with this shit somehow. Like any other movie that promotes, that doesn't have a John Williams score behind a severed arm, will get a rated R. You know,
but how fucked up is this? Yeah. And not only did he get the PG-13 rating when it probably should have been R, but he took a topic that kids love.
Dinosaurs.
And like, oh, dude, I got this dinosaur in Barney. I watch Barney all the time. And then he like made them want to watch the movie and then lose that. So maybe that was me. Like, I'm like, oh, dinosaurs are so great.
He betrayed you.
And then he said, no, come watch my movie about dinosaurs. They're real. No, they're going to kill you.
I'm not a big kid.
Not only that, he also conned the parents who thought, oh, my kid loves dinosaurs. They're going to love this.
He knows all the names. He knows Brachiosaurus and Brontosaurus and Tyrannosaurus.
Allosaurus.
I'm pretty sure the sound that the raptor makes
is
a sound that I have made like during severe, severe allergy season.
I was going to say while throwing up sometimes. Dude, like, that's what I sound like.
Are you talking about like the barking noise or like that? Oh god,
all of it.
Okay, that's well done. Like a goddamn car alarm for a Fiat.
So, you know what we like to do? We always like to talk about from what we thought as kids to adults. The idea of the how they explained it, the mosquito being stuck in the tree sap. As a kid, I'm like, oh my god, this is like makes perfect sense. As an adult, I was like, nah, I don't really like feel like that would be a way to make dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. So it struck me this time. I tried to strip away the nostalgia layers, and I just said, oh, cool, mosquito and tree sap, and you found it.
To me, it still kind of made sense, though. Like, that's more plausible than, for me, a human encased in ice lasting billions
well,
of
years. Well, I mean, come on.
You're
I mean,
right,
yeah,
right.
But, like, it's... I mean, I'm not saying that you believe, any of us believe that or anything like that, but, like, that... I think I actually read, too, that they... it could be possible, like some DNA is left
Someone
behind.
Someone just found some.
Like some like DNA is left behind of mosquitoes or like some sort of bug who was left behind back then, just kind of encased in some sort of sap or something like that. But DNA dies really fucking quickly, so they can't do anything with it.
Right.
And so, I mean, it's possible, but it's just like not.
Look, my hope is that somewhere in the world at a screening of this movie, like world premiere, there was some paleontologist scientist who was sitting there in the theater.
Still had his lab coat on.
Yeah, and like he just got off work from the dig site. And he had to meet his girlfriend there because it was kind of an impromptu date. We're going to go see this new movie.
Honey, you like dinosaurs, right?
Yeah, like you're into dinosaurs. I booked us tickets at this movie at the cinema.
I mean, you're into dinosaurs. I'm into them because you are.
Yeah,
so
I guess
I'll go.
It's like, this is my job, but it's fun for you. It's fine. I'll accommodate. And so that's what you do, apparently. And anyways, I imagine him just sitting there and being like, whatever, dinosaurs, yeah, this will be fine, whatever. I'll just kind of bullshit my way through this. Yeah. And then he sees this like science behind this, and he's like, oh my god.
That's the missing link.
Why did we think of this? Oh my god. And he picks up his stuff and he takes his half eaten popcorn and the rest of his soda and he hurries out the door back to the office so he could try this out. Like that's what I want to be in reality.
I'm let it be reality then, man.
Perfect.
It's like when people saw Fargo and it said based on a true story, and then when Steve Buscemi ditches that money out the window and buries it or whatever. People literally went to that site and dug it up and tried to find it.
Jesus Christ.
It was a farce.
It was a farce.
So we get to the dig site. We get to meet Grant and Sadler. Yeah. I have one question. Why the fuck was that kid there?
It looked like some sort of event you're able to get on like Groupon.
I know.
You know what I mean? Like it's a touristy thing, and like, oh, it'll be fun for the kids to come and do a dig site. And
here's my note that when you just said that, here's my note that I have written down. Kid, who the fuck are you?
Yes.
Why the fuck are you here? Where are your parents to smack your mouth? That doesn't look scary. Looks like a turkey.
It looks like a turkey.
And they could not have picked a more punchable kid face.
Yeah.
That kid's got a very distinct face. In fact, I tried to look him up. he's done a ton of things, but he still looks the same, just like 30 years older.
Yeah.
Kind of a funky looking face. And
yeah.
Like, makes he sense. Looked like he was holding a skateboard, like in the middle of the desert.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I brought my skateboard in case there were some ramps out here.
You know who he is? He's a part of that gang in Three Ninjas. It's that fucking, come and post up.
There it is.
That fucking shirt and that hat are so distinctive for that time frame.
Yeah, the striped shit. Yeah.
But again, as a kid, I'm like, Dr. Alan Grant was kind of mean to that kid. Like, you had a good point. As an adult, I'm like, you fuck that kid up, Dr. Alan Grant.
Yeah. Alan is like me when it comes to kids. I have no filter, really, and I don't know how to not be visceral to them.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know how to sugarcoat this for you. Have some fucking respect, asshat.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Stupid ass hat.
Yeah. I know it's like a vibration feeling thing, but what is that shotgun mower that they have?
Yeah, where it shoots
doing?
It was like a sonar.
So,
but they never really explain that, do they?
They're just like, yeah, it needs to shoot into the ground, but it's like a literal shotgun shell. I always wondered that as a kid.
Vibrations or something.
Look at this technology. Like, it's top of the line technology. It shows a perfect dinosaur drawing under the ground.
It'll be amazing, and you know,
don't touch the screen.
In 10 years, we won't even need to be digging. It's like, fuck.
You're still digging, guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry. I'm a traveler from the future.
Yeah.
You're still going to be digging.
Apparently, paleontology technology was not on the like priority list of our evolved species.
I like to point out a cut that I really like too. While they're in the cave. And he's got the sap or whatever with the mosquito in it, and it kind of zooms in on it. Then it like kind of fades into the actual bone of. It's like that's a
pretty good
kind of foreshadowing cut there.
Sort of like your Space Odyssey,
exactly.
Yeah,
yeah.
Sort of like Encino Man.
Yeah, the brilliance of that.
Brilliant. It's on par, bro.
Laura Dern.
Oh, I know.
She's pretty great, isn't she?
Oh my god, dude. I think she's one of my favorite actresses of all time.
Okay.
I love everything that she does. I have a shirt of her. I love her so much, and she's so, so good in this movie.
Yeah.
I love Sam Neill too. I'll just put that. One of my favorite actors. But Laura Dern steals this fucking movie. I mean, we'll get to Jeff Goldblum and his antics and stuff, but Laura Dern's so good.
Yeah.
And I will get to it later too, but I think that she has one of the best moments of cinema of all time.
Foreshadowing.
Yep. Ooh.
Can I it's going to be a common theme for me. I'm going to talk about bad decisions that have been made in this movie.
Fantastic.
And we're just going to keep getting into them. So the first one, when Dr. Grant and Dr. Sattler have the instinct to say, "Nah, we're not going to Jurassic Park.
Right.
This is dumb." And they very hardly try to say, "We're not going to go. This is dumb. I don't want to go." Mm-hmm. Then essentially they are bribed.
Yep.
They're straight up bribed
with
cash. And they say, "All right, we're going to go." Bad decision. Trust your guts on that, guys. Yeah. You should not have gone to Jurassic Park.
We'll fund your digs for
the next three months.
It's like, okay, I guess that's what we're going to do.
I'm just saying, accepting bribes is not the way you should be doing this.
It would be great to have all the money in the world just to persuade anybody to do anything. Like, he came there in a helicopter, one. And two, all he's got to do is just be like, he knows the answer already. He's there to pick them up.
He popped that bottle of champagne. Like,
yeah.
He has six more in the helicopter.
And why can't he just be like, so here's where Hammond sucks. It's like, he's sparing no expense. All he had to do was, they walked in and he goes, "Shut your fucking mouths.
Mm-hmm.
I have real fucking dinosaurs. Here's a photo of it."
Yeah.
Like, for real. Get on this helicopter. And they'd be like, "We're going."
Yeah.
So he's like, "I'm going to pay 3 months of your dig."
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you what's going on. No, get on the helicopter.
Like, from the guy that's funding them already, you know, like, I would just be like,
right,
get on the fucking helicopter.
Okay.
He's basically your boss. He's basically your executive producer of your dig. Okay. You don't get to tell him no just because you're digging around right now.
Exactly.
You go with him. That's it. There's no question about this. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm all right with it, I guess. But yeah, I think it's just weird. It's just weird vibes. Weird vibes, bro.
Yeah.
Don't like it.
So don't it's like it. What's
even
funny,
on the helicopter.
What's funny about Richard Attenborough is he's a prolific director himself and actor, obviously. But it's funny because Steven Spielberg would direct him in this movie, but Richard Attenborough would go on to direct Gandhi, and they would both be up for Best Director, Steven Spielberg for Schindler's List of this year, and him for Gandhi, and Richard Attenborough would beat him for Gandhi.
Cool.
So he directed the man that beat him for the Best Director, and I think Steven Spielberg went on to win Best Director for Saving Private Ryan, I believe.
Yeah.
So, kind of funny.
Damn.
What was your reaction as a kid trying to remember back to that first time, like, they do that amazing, everybody in shock and awe turns to see the first dinosaur, the Brachiosaurus?
So I'm saying, man, Laura Dern's reaction is the best.
Yep.
It looks like she is seeing a dinosaur for the first time. I mean, I can't imagine what a great director like Steven Spielberg would even give an actor like that to say.
Okay, pretend so like you're seeing a 40-foot like, tall dinosaur. Yeah,
what else can you say?
What else do you say?
What else can you say? And she fucking looks like she's seeing a fucking dinosaur.
It's straight up. It's like the same idea when we did Goonies, how Donner didn't show them the pirate ship until they saw it.
But they at least got to see the pirate ship.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, is like, how do you get that reaction without there actually being a pirate ship?
Just a blue sky.
Without there actually, And you're just like, you're right. Like, their reactions are so big. And and that's the thing. Like, some of these reviews that I saw, and they were bagging on the acting itself. And I'm just like, you have absolutely zero credibility.
Yeah.
Like, that just proves it.
I mean, and also when I think something in one of those reviews said there's like, it lacks awe and wonderment. I think that was Ebert, right?
Yeah.
That scene was wonder.
That's exactly what it is. And the music emphasizes that.
Yes, not to be downplayed or simply added to by the music.
Yeah.
That amazing score that just you see when they see that dinosaur.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible.
And I think that's one, like, there's a whole documentary on YouTube and several documentaries. So much information on this movie has been created. But an interview with John Williams, he's like, I wanted it to be big and feel like you were in awe and wonderment. I wanted it to feel like that.
That main theme song.
Yeah.
Yeah. It really does.
It's so good. We forgot to mention Dennis.
Dennis Nedry.
Nedry, who is the kind of crux of this entire thing. Newman. Makes it all go south.
Oh, my God.
I can't Newman. Differentiate his laugh with a raptor noise. Because when he's describing the Barbasol can to him, he's like has this squeal. I'm like, was there a raptor around?
He's so excited to be this little gremlin of a human and just like a secret agent style bullshit that he gets to do, and he just thinks it's the coolest fucking thing in the world, man.
Yeah.
He just loves it so much. He's eating it up. He sees the money. Oh man, he loves it.
Hey, humanize the goons here. That's what we do, right?
Yeah.
So real, Hammond says he spares no expense, but like, come on, pay your most important person more.
Apparently, he's slightly underpaid here.
I mean, like, he's been working on a top secret project. Can't even tell women that he, like, helps make dinosaurs real.
This is the only thing that could ever
That's the only
him
thing. Like. And, like, he can't even do it. He's like making minimum wage. He's, like, the smartest guy there.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. He's broke. He hit his breaking point, man. Humanize the goons.
Does he allude to the fact of what his financial troubles are?
No.
He doesn't, does he?
No.
And so
we know that they're like, him and Hammond obviously have disagreements.
Yes, they have, they're at ends. Yeah.
It's not exact numbers, I don't think.
Of course. Yeah. I'm just like, to me, it makes me wonder about that. And you're just like, all right, what are you doing? You're gambling on the ponies or something. what are you up to there? Fucking Niedermeyer. I don't know what his name is, but
Nedry.
Dennis Nedry.
So I saw this on Twitter a couple months ago. And apparently no one had noticed it. Over this movie was 92, 93?
Yes.
Yeah, so no one noticed this for decades, but then they did notice it, and it's amazing, and it fits right into our podcast. You may have seen this, but
I got it.
Directed by Spielberg, right?
Okay.
Who was an executive producer on Goonies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a little link there between Nedry's character and the Goonies.
What?
Early on in the movie, we got Dachshund here!
Yeah.
He's wearing this like floral pattern shirt.
Yes.
Which is exactly what Chunk is wearing in the Goonies. Then, midway through the movie, when he's working, he's got a black t-shirt underneath a gray coat, which is exactly what Mouth is wearing. And then at the end of the movie, he puts on a bright yellow raincoat,
with a hood, which is exactly what Mikey is wearing in the Goonies.
Oh my god!
It is like a tribute to the Goonies through Nedry's character.
That's like Spielberg land, like yeah, kind of vibes yeah. of, you know, like
Amblin Entertainment.
Amblin, fucking A. Oh my God.
I love that.
That's fantastic.
That makes me so happy to know that.
Yes. R.I.P. Dick Donner.
Oh, man.
Yes. Oh, man.
All right, so moving along. Arriving at the park's visitor center, the group learns more about how cloning was done. The group witnesses the hatching of a baby velociraptor, and during lunch, the group debates the ethics of cloning and the creation of the park. They are joined by Hammond's grandchildren, Lex and Tim Murphy, for a tour of the park. The tour does not go as planned, with most of the dinosaurs failing to appear and the group encountering a sick Triceratops. As a tropical cyclone approaches the island, Sattler stays behind while the rest try to continue the tour and get back to the visitor center.
So listen, some people dog on Christopher Nolan for giving way too much exposition and kind of focusing his movies on plot instead of just kind of showing us and instead of showing us, he's telling us mostly. Now, if you're going to give us exposition to give us a literal informative video, only Spielberg could get away with that.
Yeah.
And it was his idea to just kind of crunch all of this exposition in to an informative video that the cast watches.
The original is like a 400, 500 page novel, and then yeah. they had to take all that information and just go, okay, this is how we made dinosaurs. Okay, move along.
I think he said that there's like not even a third of the book of
Jesus.
The book is in the movie.
Wow.
So
he's the only one that could get away with that, right?
It's so clever and so smart, and it's him thinking on the fly. He just came off a hook. He just, you know, directed that movie with Robin Williams and everything.
Oh, wow.
And now he's just a fucking genius, man. Like, does that work for you? Like, it's obviously exposition, but like, it's informative and entertaining at the same time.
I had no problems with it as a kid, obviously. Okay. And I didn't have any issues with it now as an adult either. And maybe that pulls from watching it beforehand as a kid. But like even Hammond says at one point, well, it's kind of a ride, you know. You don't really get off, you know,
yeah.
And they yuck it up a little bit too. Like he's supposed to be standing there exchanging lines with a recording, and
so is he
going to
do that
funny.
For every single tour?
That's a good point, you know. It's just like what the he's going to be there. Okay, I guess that's his job for the day, you know. And they do this like four times a day or whatever. Who knows? But yeah, like I didn't have any problems with it, you know.
I actually kind of like that stuff.
I do too.
I want to see the whole video.
I do too.
I was actually kind of bummed when they got off the ride.
No, keep going.
I want to keep hearing about it, actually.
It's crazy, man, how he gets a fucking way with that.
I think it's clever.
Yeah.
It's very clever because they talk about rides and stuff. Oh, they all have rides, but you know, we have like these real attractions.
Mm-hmm.
This is your ride. This is your inauguration into the park. You know what I mean? So I think it works really well.
I've got a few more bad decisions to talk about here.
Okay.
This actually, somebody, I saw this maybe on just like a Reddit or something, but it really resonated because I didn't think about it. But like, so the scientists of Jurassic Park can make any dinosaur they want, right? They're mm-hmm. like, we can make the T-Rex, we can make this. Why did they breed velociraptors? Number one, they're too smart and violent. Like they're just terrible dinosaurs. But also, think back to when you were a kid. No one even knew what a velociraptor was. It wasn't even a popular dinosaur.
Yeah.
No one fucking knew what it was. So, like, I get why they wanted to do it for the movie, because it's like, ooh, velociraptors are cool.
Right.
But, like, why breed the smartest, most violent dinosaur that no one knows about?
They're basically xenomorphs from Alien. Like, the most violent huntress fucking organism ever to
yes.
live, you know, like it's
oh, let's make them.
Yeah, it's like a cheetah times 1,000. You know, so I think that's
oh
what they say. It's like
yeah.
the ultimate hunter. You know,
it is, and they're smarter than that too.
Yeah,
even Grant says what, like basically, is like you're breeding velociraptors,
dude. So to take that to the next level, you don't realize it until you really think about it. But the velociraptor cage is right next to the visitor center. The most dangerous dinosaur you have on this island is right next door to where all the people stay.
Oh, we're gonna walk right over there.
Because they leave the ride and they just walk over and they're like, oh, you got velociraptors? He's like, yeah. Oh, did you just come from the visitor center?
Because I would argue one velociraptor is a fucking velociraptor. Two velociraptors is a nuclear bomb.
Yeah.
Like, and we just so you can hear those screams at night while you're trying to go to bed.
just in case.
We just fed them a cow.
We have to feed them a cow every 6 hours on the fucking hour. So that's going to be happening at 2 a.m.
While your kids are trying to sleep.
And it's going to be fucking mooing for its life. So, you're right.
I will say, though, you guys, when the baby hatches... It is so cute.
So cute.
Cray cray adorbs.
Oh my god.
Cray cray adorbs. It's almost as cute as BD Wong just showing up as the other doctor there.
He's pretty awesome, right?
He's so excited. He's so positive about everything he's talking about. When Grant's like, you're breeding velociraptors. And BD Wong just looks up at him like, yeah, bitch. Like,
you
what? Like,
idiot.
Yeah, hello.
If you can, you do.
If you can, we will do it. Okay.
So all of the dinosaurs on the island are female. And I'm just, I know that, like, male dinosaurs, they would breed and it would get out of control and everything like that. But I'm saying, all of the comments I see on, like, girls on Facebook and Instagram, like, commenting on other girl stuff is, like, they're getting fucking hot for each other.
So why not do all males?
Uh-huh. You know?
Actually, I think they thought about this wrong. Like, you do all females, you're like, well, there's no male to impregnate the female. But if you do all males, there's no fucking womb.
There's no womb.
Like,
right.
What if a male shows up? Yeah. You're fucked. But if more males show up to the male party, like, we're okay.
It's all good. that DNA.
I'm no scientist, but
you're
like.
Right. No, you're right.
I mean, you're not?
I believe in what Sean said. The males would just be like, hey, like, this is pretty cool, right? No women around. This is awesome.
Look at this. We're just hanging out.
We're just being bros, dude.
Crack some bros, dude.
I take it back to slackers and Pete's mentality. I call him Pete because I don't know his actual name. It's Pete from Pete and Pete. And he just says, look, screw chicks, man. Okay? We can just hang out. We can be guys. We can have sex, and it's not gay. It's fine. Like, we're just friends.
I've got a surprise for you guys next week. We are doing the Adventures of Pete and Pete.
Yeah.
And I have a surprise for you. I'm not gonna say that one of the characters from Pete and Pete left us a voicemail, but I'm just gonna throw it out.
Shut up.
Nuh-uh.
Tune in next week.
Oh, you bastard.
Okay.
Back to Jurassic Park.
I guess we gotta go back to this now.
One of the best quotes, and one of the most riveting kind of conversations that they have is like in that boardroom when they're all trying to have dinner or lunch or whatever the fuck they're having. Dr. Jeff Goldblum is just saying his life finds a way speech. And it's just kind of really profound and is like obviously the meaning of the movie, you know? And he's kind of saying without saying that it's like just because, well, he does say it blatantly. He's like, just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. It does put it all into perspective and it's like putting yourself into that situation. Like that is a huge, that is like Chernobyl, really.
Right.
You know, like just harnessing the power of a nuclear bomb. That's the equivalent of this because this is this is fucking, we don't know about this all the way yet. You know, we don't know, like, especially like the vegetation and everything like that. We don't know what that does to a human body.
Yeah.
Let alone, you know, you're going to create the new COVID with that shit. Who knows? You know, that no one knows.
Dr.
Malcolm
Sadler, actually,
yeah,
that comes back and she's like, you don't even know, like, what their ecosystem is like.
Yeah.
You have no idea. Like, you bred them, but, like, you don't know how they're going to respond to these different things. You don't know how the Triceratops, are they getting into this Indonesian plant?
Yeah.
You know, that's apparently indigenous to the area. Mm-hmm. You don't know how they're going to respond to these things. And you just decide to put them in there because you're basically just a kid in a sandbox.
Yeah.
And
you're kind of like David from Encino Man.
Yeah. And just being a dick.
Just being flippant with a historical artifact.
Correct.
But Ham is just like, but guys, like, we made dinosaurs. But he's just like, and then, who gives a shit?
Wasn't that dope as fuck?
You see the Brachiosaurus?
You guys saw that, right? Like, I wasn't the only one sitting there, like, with the fucking boner, right?
Like a gold chain
on. You guys
on.
Know. You all were stiffer than that Brachiosaurus' neck. Don't act like you weren't. That's what he's saying.
Basically. And he even hopes Dr. Grant, like, yeah. Come on, Dr. Grant, like, come on.
Yeah. I've only got the blood-sucking lawyer on my side. How is this? It's like, yeah, because you just want to make fucking money, bro.
Yeah.
The lawyer does.
The lawyer does. Hammond legitimately
wants to.
He does
want to be a fun thing.
He does.
I will give him that.
You kind of feel sorry for Hammond throughout this movie that he really does want to make something for. And he even talked about how it'll be very expensive, but like anyone can come. There'll be discount plans.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
Like even the poorest of poor can come to Jurassic Park. And
it's not something he wants to exclude anyone from. So there is some nobility behind it, but unfortunately the thought process just wasn't
there. Yeah. What's the saying is that the path of good intentions is the path of you go the golden brick road?
You got it.
Yep. Cool. I think he got it. I think he nailed it.
Well, I'm good to move on.
All right, cool.
Well, no, we still got a few more things to talk about. when we'll just ignore that Sean even said that.
Okay.
One quick thing, props to the set designers, is that driving through that Jurassic Park fence.
The door.
Yeah. With the doors and the, like, that is, to me, is so iconic.
Absolutely.
Of that. And the music going with that, and, like, it's kind of creepy.
Are we going to run into it?
What are we going to do? And how did those electric cars actually work, by the way?
I don't know.
Because there's a
track,
but nothing was touching the track. I tried really hard to see if something was like hanging down.
That seems like more expensive anyway.
So it's like electromagnet.
Maybe.
No, I just think that was a really weirdly thought out thing that they're like, they're electric cars.
True, because it came off there pretty easy.
Maybe it's just a hook that comes up from behind.
I don't know, man. Because even in some of the driving scenes, the car is kind of all over the place. Sort of.
You're right.
It's like the moon cars at Six Flags. Did anybody ride those?
Yeah.
Yeah, where you could just do this all day long, but the track in the middle kept you on the track.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know. I didn't like those.
So we get our first inkling of Sam Jackson here. And I mean, I know. It's like, I'm tired of these motherfucking dinosaurs on this motherfucking park. We all are thinking it. I'm just getting it out of the way.
Hey, he had a cigarette in his mouth.
Listen
like
to
95%
me.
The entire time.
If I could talk with a cigarette in my mouth like Sam Jackson does in this movie, I would smoke all the time.
Absolutely.
Indoors, outdoors, doesn't fucking matter. On a plane, motherfucking plane. I'd do anywhere, anytime.
So great.
I would have a cigarette in my mouth the entire time because he's just bouncing that thing back and forth.
Dude, and being a smoker and having like and the shortness of that, like it's an almost done cigarette and it's going straight up his nose.
Yeah.
That fucks you up. That makes
Not
me like
Sam Jackson.
That I'm like even as a seasoned smoker. I'm saying like it fuck you. He's just like, oh, I'm just doing my computer
fucking Sam Jackson, dude.
Problem is, they got the locks on the other door, and they don't do no door to fucking door. But I'm just like, Sam, how are you talking this fast and keeping that cigarette steady, brother?
He's a bad motherfucker.
God,
his name
cool,
is
man.
Ray Arnold in the movie.
So
Ray
cool.
Arnold.
Hold on to your butts is a line I say daily. So.
It's the best. Can we do a Ian Malcolm is fucking creepy thread here? Like,
okay,
when he's in the car. When he's in the car and he's doing the chaos theory and he like touches her hair.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
He does a little yank on it.
I don't like it. And I also did read, I wondered how much of that character is actually like Jeff Goldblum just for real.
Just being real.
And apparently Jeff Goldblum and Laura Dern actually, after filming the movie, began a romantic relationship. They were engaged for 2 years. But Goldblum is famous for striking up relationships with co-stars.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And so, like, breaking them off.
I just feel like that's just, he's just like, yeah, I'm going to use this movie power to just.
he even says, his character even says, that he's like, yeah, I'm always looking for the next future Mrs. X or ex-Mrs. Miles or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, Malcolm. Yeah, whatever it is. Malcolm, what's his
Ian
name?
Malcolm.
Ian Malcolm. Malcolm, okay.
He just creeps me out in this movie a little bit.
Yeah.
Something about Goldblum in every movie that he's in, and I know people love him. I'm not like a huge fan of Goldblum. I like him a lot. I think his best performance is The Fly. But he's got this weird thing about his hands.
You're
like,
right.
It seems like they become detached from him and just start floating towards things. Like, I wish you could see me right now, just because, like, it's just like.
It's like the old in-person video games,
where
the arms were not, it was 3D, but the arms were not.
As he's explaining something, it's like his arm becomes detached from him, and like, he's He's like making a point, and
it's like,
and just
the, looks like the hand on the Wii, on a Wii controller. That
yes, that's it.
They're all just floating around the screen. You're like, how did it get under there? Like, and yeah,
I,
you're right.
Especially when like he first is on the helicopter and we first meet him. Yeah. He does that. I don't know if he does like a growl or like a something. He's like,
that makes no sense.
It's like right at the end of that scene.
It's just a Bloomism.
Yeah, it is.
And it's kind of dumb that they have to like juxtapose. Okay, we've got paleontologists. They're very conservative people.
They
just wear normal clothes. But then we've got rock star chaos titian over here with black leather on and black color changing lenses. Blah. Like we didn't need him to be a rock star.
Whole lot of fucking extra over there, chief.
I only wear black.
And he's got the Roy Orbison glasses on. That is just like, you're just like,
that doesn't look cool on anybody.
Dude, fucking chill with the gold chain. All
right, you're transitioning right now. Just calm down.
Last bad decision of this scene. I thought about this long and hard. If Dr. Grant and Dr. Sattler don't get out of the car, they don't get out of the car to go to the Triceratops, they would have made it back to the visitor center.
That's very true.
Yep.
But they decided to get out of the car.
Yeah, the lawyer wouldn't have died and Goldblum wouldn't have gotten injured.
Nope, and they would have just all been like, we need to get the fuck out of this island.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And that was again, like say, one of the reviews I read, their big problem was like, there's no point to the Triceratops. It's like, dude, there was every point to the Triceratops.
Yeah, it totally
you
was.
You fucking moron. Because it's literally a catalyst for them to get out and disrupt like what's going on.
Yeah.
And that in that just furthers the story of them separating.
Yep.
You know, and it propels the story. So like there's all the reason for why that had to happen.
I'm just saying they shouldn't have.
Yeah, and you're saying that they shouldn't have done that, so they could have just been happy and we shouldn't have this fucking movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that person is just like, I think it's dumb because they did that. It's like, well, it is dumb, but it gave us a good movie.
But also putting yourself in their shoes, is like, this is their life's work.
Correct.
And there's this,
correct,
it's right in front of them. They're going to go
do it. How the fuck am I not going to go dig through a volcanic mountain of Triceratops shit?
Yeah.
Christ.
And the last point, this is the 25th time I've watched this movie. Every time Dr. Grant looks out the window and they show the scene out the window where he's like, what's that? What's that? I study as long and hard as I can to be like, I want to see where the guy's standing and where the Triceratops is. There's nothing. There's just nothing out of that window. They just did a shot of a moving window. Like, I always like, what's he looking at out the window? Where does he see the Triceratops?
Okay.
But then they show a shot looking out the window and you don't see anything.
Yeah,
you see nothing.
There's no context of that.
No, that's true.
Okay.
So how did he see it? Never mind. We're moving on.
No.
Well, and on top of that,
he saw a Jeep.
Is that what he saw?
He saw a Jeep.
He saw that doctor kind of standing over
there. But like, why would that intrigue him to get out of a moving car?
There's no reason. It goes back to your original point.
Yes.
It's just he saw it. I did see a Jeep. That's it.
Oh, hey, there's a Jeep out there.
Oh, there's a Jeep out there.
Is it from the Cretaceous period?
No.
Did they clone the Jeep?
They clone the Jeep?
On top of that, too, it's like, and Goldblum's character, Ian Malcolm, does have a point where he's like, there are going to be dinosaurs on this dinosaur tour, really, right? Because the first one they come to is just like, well, yeah, they could choose not to be there.
Yeah.
Like, their enclosure is pretty big, so they could be any fucking
just
where.
Just like when you've gone to the zoo as a kid and you didn't see a tiger. I'm like, what the fuck,
man? Yeah, he's just not there right now, you know?
They just, like, I imagine they just put up the signs, like, around the area, and it just says, oh, the Tyrannosaurus Rex is sleeping today.
Yeah. It's got a really nice drawing of a Tyrannosaurus with a cover over
a
him.
A very sweet-looking little dinosaur, like, snuggled up with a blankie and a bear.
Z's coming
with
out of
Z's coming out of it. And, like, the the Velociraptors aren't very hungry today. And it's just like, oops. It's like, what the fuck, man?
All right, so Jurassic Park's disgruntled lead computer programmer Dennis Nedry has been bribed to steal fertilized dinosaur embryos. Nedry deactivates the park's security system to gain access to the embryo storage room. Nedry's sabotage also cuts power to the tour vehicles, stranding them just as they near the park's Tyrannosaurus Rex paddock. Most of the park's electric fences are deactivated as well, allowing the Tyrannosaurus to escape and attack the group. Grant, Lex, and Tim escape on his way to deliver the embryos to the island's docks. Nedry becomes lost in the rain, crashes his Jeep, and is killed by a Dilophosaurus.
Oh, man, a lot of stuff happened.
Dennis Nedry, like, kind of saying that he's like, oh, I'm just going to go to a snack. And if anyone wants a snack, I can go get a snack. And if you want a snack, I'll just go. I'm just going to go get a snack. He seems like really nervous, like yeah. not obvious at all.
No.
Like, dude, chill the fuck out.
This guy hasn't said a word to us in yeah. 3 months. Yeah. And now he wants to buy us a soda.
Like, okay, yeah, Nedry, get the fuck out of here.
Fucking calm down. Sam Jackson's like Arnold is just fucking done with this dude, man. He's just like, why are you here? Why are you talking to me? I don't want anything from your fucking grubby hands, you piece of shit. That's what he's saying with his eyes.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I love the angle of the storm knocking everything out. Like, it's like a storm of the century kind of thing. And it's like limited people at the park, too. So it seems kind of like, honestly, like the thing, just kind of like 10 little Indians or 10 little Native Americans stuck in a place, you know, and they're trying right. to figure out what's going on. It's a very like horror movie plot, and I really like it. And the music's so great yeah. for it, too. I love just like phones are out, too. You know, just like everything's going wrong. I'm like, oh, man, what's going to happen?
Like,
you know?
AJ said earlier, once it starts raining, it's like, yeah, we're
telling you, man,
we got problems now.
Yep. This is the part like I would have trouble like rewatching this with people. People would be like, oh, Jurassic Park. Let's watch Jurassic Park. And I'd be like, yeah, I don't know if I really want to watch that movie again right now. And, you know, but eventually I did. I always did because they wanted to put it on anyways. But yeah, like, man, it starts raining. And I think about how quickly things change for the people on the tour.
Yeah.
That, you've been in a car when it's raining and maybe you're parked or whatever, maybe you're driving, but you do feel very safe in that car.
Yeah.
Right. You yeah. feel really safe in that car and everything's fine. You know, the lawyer's sleeping basically. The kids are kind of playing with shit that they're finding and the other adults are just trying to fucking deal with each other. And but there's still this very safe feeling. And then all of a sudden, things just change.
Yep.
And it is fucking terrifying, man. I hate it so much when things just start to go awry. And more, like, very specifically, when the Tyrannosaurus busts through.
Yeah. Yeah. No thanks.
That sunroof, so, man.
Before we get to that entire scene, speaking of the storm, there was actually a huge hurricane that hit the island they were filming on.
Oh,
and
man.
They all had to kind of bunker down and quit filming for the day, except for the camera crew, because they got some footage of the actual storm. But they were all just kind of like hanging out, and like it just kind of goes to show what a cool set Steven Spielberg runs, is that they're all hanging out, having a good time, playing cards and stuff, and Steven Spielberg said that Richard Attenborough was just kind of sleeping the entire time. They
during
woke him
a
up.
Hurricane.
Yeah, he's like, there's a hurricane going. He's like, that's fine. Just wake me up when I gotta work. but yeah, they're all just doing, they're hanging out and having fun. And he described like when the eye was over there, like wherever they were staying, he's like, it was super eerie and super beautiful. And then it just the storm came again, obviously, yep. as it came back yeah. over. And it was like 160 mile an hour winds. Like,
wow.
It could have been dangerous, but. Like, movies like this, especially that Steven Spielberg makes, are just blessed, you know, and
yeah.
could have been a catastrophe. But a lot of the island people, too, helped clean up, and like, the crew was all kind of, like, gathered together, like, right. full regalia to help out and everything, and just kind of got the production back on track. So,
wow.
Yeah.
When you talked about that scene when it starts is the T-Rex, even before he comes over the fence, that iconic rumbling mm-hmm. and the water displacement.
Yes.
Super hard effect to get.
Yes.
Yeah, like that. That's just now you're like, oh, fuck.
That is a point.
And now all of a sudden the fence is down. The green and yellow light's not blinking anymore. Ugh. Yeah.
It's that effect. Actually, they were trying to just like trying to make the water yeah. vibrate. And it seems like a really simple thing, but they were having a really hard time for it to like read on camera like they wanted to. So they were trying various different things. Like, they could get the mirror to vibrate just by shaking the car or whatever. But they were trying several different things. And then one of the practical effects people was messing around with a guitar one day and was just like, well, let me just mess around and try and see if I can get the water to move with this. So they built like guitar strings under the
cool.
cup holder and like strum some notes, and that's what made the water vibrate.
Wow.
Yeah. Jesus.
So it wasn't a T-Rex.
No, it wasn't.
Well, this movie is ruined for me.
And don't you picture the
it's ruined.
The T-Rex was like, one step, stop. Hold on. Next step, stop.
sorry, you missed your mark there. I'm going to have you back up a little bit.
Okay.
No, you're good.
We're going to reset.
Marker.
dude. And then
action.
Then that T-Rex just takes over and just that to me, man.
The whole T-Rex
that
sequence,
whole scene.
That's what I'm saying, man. Is everywhere up until the point where it comes through the top of that car, is you still feel safe. Like, you get the oh shit moments. You see the fucking T-Rex basically before, and you still feel safe until it comes through the top, man.
Then he's turning the car over and he's pushing it, and he's
the whole
tire like a fucking donut. Ugh.
I think the whole sequence is one of the best sequences like ever put to film, in my opinion. Like, this is a scene that I'll just like type into YouTube just to watch.
I just
this
check
scene.
It out.
Just because of how masterful it is, and like how masterful Spielberg is, because he's like I designed this entire thing. Like, I storyboarded this entire sequence.
Wow.
And what makes it even more special to me is that it has no music whatsoever. Mm-hmm. It is just eerie as fuck, just all sound effects, the rain coming down, the boom of the T-Rex, you know, and the sounds of the T-Rex, which the T-Rex sound was a combo of a dog, penguin, tiger, alligator, and elephant.
Give me 5% more elephant. Take the penguin down 2%.
Yeah.
Oh, now, there it is. There it is.
Now boost it all. Can you put a compressor on that?
Compressor, please.
They're like, so when music comes in, it makes you know how to feel.
Yeah.
You know? So if it's like an exciting sting, you'd be like excited or like kind of thrilled or like scared a little bit.
There's nothing on this.
But
right?
If there's nothing, it's just sound, and it's just up to you to
feel
see
kind
how
of hopeless.
You feel. Yeah. You're just like kind of left to the... You're left to the filmmaker's regard, really, and it's anything could happen at that point. And it's—I don't know—it's just a brilliant fucking scene. On top of all the special makeup effects, that thing looks fucking real to this day.
Still looks real.
Yep.
Even the sound design, like the sound of the lawyer's bones breaking when he eats him off the toilet. You hear it go, like he shakes him.
Yeah.
How is this PG-13? My God.
Oh, God, dude.
I couldn't take a shit for about 2 years after I watched Jurassic Park for the first time.
Well, something was going to break through there.
Even the CGI holds up today, too.
It does, man.
It's crazy.
There were a few, like the first Brachiosaurus. You're like, okay. But
broad daylight
but
shit.
But still, man, wow. It all still holds up like crazy.
It really does.
It's incredible. Like, one more thing on the rain scene, too, or like this whole T-Rex thing, is that like they didn't anticipate Spielberg wanted it to be raining. And so all the rain weighed down on the prosthetics and everything. And it made the T-Rex animatronic like kind of shake and like have convulsions, like because it was like too heavy. And so they had to like go back and redesign the entire thing and like make it kind of like rainproof pretty much just to shoot in the rain. But what an incredible fucking scene.
Your point about like how no music makes you feel helpless, and the point when they actually switch to the perspective of the other car watching this happen. How helpless.
You can't do anything.
You're just like, okay, that's
turn
what's happening
off the
right
light,
now.
Turn
and
off the light.
And I don't know how to do anything about this. And then they move into action, and I imagine there's got to be a bad decision in here somewhere, Mike.
I don't even need to mention this bad decision.
Okay,
right?
Fine.
There's a lot of them. We don't even need to talk about this whole scene.
Ian!
Put it. Throw it.
No, oh, he's going to chase me.
Fucking Lex turning
Ian,
on a flashlight.
Freeze!
Come on.
Yeah.
You don't know how to turn off a flashlight. Stupid girl.
Yeah, rough, dude.
Apparently, that decision was, or the Ian Malcolm scene where he's doing the flare or whatever, it was originally supposed to be him just running away, kind of like the lawyer. But Goldblum came in. He's like, hey, how about just to add a little bit more flavor and variety to that? And
I want help.
Not just have somebody else run away. Maybe I'd kind of like deflect him a little bit or something like that. So he came up with that whole idea of having the flare and everything.
Wow.
So.
This is, and I will say just before we move on, this is a point where this is only anxiety from here on out,
God.
By the way. Okay, so is this the rest of this movie is an anxiety trip.
Dude, it's nonstop from here.
Yep,
it just never ends. You go, okay, cool, we made it through that. No, we didn't. Yep. Now here's another problem. No, and then we made it through that. Here's another problem. We got to get through this.
Yep, it's just anxiety from here on out, and that's all I want to say.
I got two things. The one thing I wanted to mention was I never understood, and I still don't. Maybe you can help me out. That why is there like 100-foot drop off from the road down into the Tyrannosaurus paddock, right? Where the truck falls down. But how are you supposed to see a dinosaur then if it's 100 feet down from the road?
Is that what they say, 100 feet?
Well, it just seemed like it, like if from where the car fell into the tree and then hit the ground. Tyrannosaurus is only like 20 feet
15, 20 feet tall.
That's true. That's like, it seems like
I just
like
never
like
understood
a,
that.
Like, for me, it's like this like 25 or 30 foot drop of the wall or something like that.
Right. So then how do you see the dinosaur?
Right. So that thing has to be 35 feet tall so you can just see the dome of it, right?
Yeah,
like
weird.
You can just see its head. And like, but it still doesn't make sense. Like, you're right.
No. They're like, we got to keep adding more things. Like, let's make the car fall into the tree. But then let's make it, once we get out of the tree, that the car is going to fall on us.
How the fuck did she get down there so quick?
I don't know.
We'll get there. Never mind.
It kind of reminds me of like the shot in The Sandlot when they're he's telling the story of the beast, and you can just see the head of the dog, but it's like huge. I'm like, a picture, that's what it looks like to them. You can just see
when
the head
the
of the
Tyrannosaurus comes around, like, and barely its little arm waving at you.
And the last terrifying thing of this scene, Dilophosaurus. Fuck that dinosaur.
God, we didn't even get to that.
That whole scene, man.
It is really fucking... Well, okay. You know, Nedry was going to get his fucking comeuppance. You know what I mean? And that's fine. I'm cool with that. He sabotaged this whole thing. He put this whole thing in motion with his shittiness, okay? With his gambling problem that we don't know that it exists. But that's the thing. And you're just like... you know, he decided to do all this. And he's going to have to deal with it. And, yeah, this Dilophosaurus or whatever, dilapidated apartment, whatever it is. And this thing's spitting fucking venom and like...
But it seems nice. And in the way he talks to it is the way I talk to a dog, I don't know, that comes up on me. The other day I was showing a house and there's just a pit bull comes out of the garage and he just stopped and stared at me. And I was like... Hey, bro. Like, no, it's cool, man. I sell real estate. It's real cool. I'm like,
I'm trying to communicate with you.
Is this your house? It's a pretty cool house, man. It's like, that's the way he's trying to talk to this dinosaur.
Yeah.
Cocks his head a little bit. It's making pleasant noises.
Oh, hey.
Oh, hey.
You see the stick? Get the stick. Get the stick, stupid. Get the stick. No wonder you fucking extinct.
And you know right away. And then when he turns around, he makes up the hill, and the dinosaur's right behind him.
So the sound of the Dilophosaurus was a combo of a swan, hawk, rattlesnake, and howler monkey.
The sound designers are fucking with, like,
they won
genetics,
an Oscar.
Dude.
Yeah.
DNA. They shouldn't be doing that.
They're doing as much shit as these scientists were, man. That's fucking wild.
I will say, as, like, funny or scary as that scene is to some people, that as soon as... the shot of Nedry trying to get the car or whatever, and then you see just the two legs of the Dilophosaurus and like the sound, like, I fucking laugh my ass off.
There's these very cute moments.
They are.
And then I think, I'm pretty sure it just cuts away, and it's just like that vehicle is just going back and forth. This guy's getting fucking eaten alive.
Oh, yeah.
And he can't see because he's got acid in his eyes, so no big deal.
Yeah. It's a very weird, like, you do feel bad. Like, I did. When I was a kid, I felt bad. But at the same time, you're just like, dude, you fucked up.
You fucked up, bro.
You fucked up.
You could have gone on that boat a long time ago.
Yeah, you shouldn't have been there. And you know what? This is your problem.
Boat to the mainland leaves in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So I mean, yeah, like you guys have been saying, it's just like one thing after another, and that's Spielberg too. Like it's just so the car is in the
relentless
fucking tree, and so he's got to go get the kid from the tree, and he's like, I peed myself or I puked or whatever.
Puked.
And
threw up,
and so now the car is coming down on him, and like it's such a good fucking set piece, though. Like, just to add, he just throws in fucking wrench after wrench, and it's incredible. Just because, like, I can tell that's like a soundstage.
Oh yeah,
but it just looks so good anyway. I don't know. It's all just so good.
So when they were underneath the car, knowing that the car was gonna fall, why didn't they just walk around to the backside of the tree?
That.
This is like, okay, so that's coming down. Let's go four branches this way.
We're just going to go this way.
We're just going to go around.
Hey, just spread out a little bit.
And even that, when they do touch land and
it keeps going.
They could have moved left or right. Left or right.
Jump over the fucking branch, the root. Just jump over it.
It's just nonstop from here on out. We've already talked about it. Okay, here we go. So Sattler helps the game warden Robert Muldoon search for survivors. They recover an injured Malcolm, but are chased away by the returning Tyrannosaurus before they can find Grant, Tim, and Lex, who take shelter in a treetop. Unable to decipher Nedry's code to reactivate the security system, Hammond and Chief Engineer Ray Arnold reboot the park system.
When Arnold fails to return from flipping an emergency breaker, Sattler and Muldoon head out and discover the shutdown has deactivated the remaining fences and released the velociraptors. Sattler is able to turn the power back on, but Muldoon is caught off guard and killed by raptors.
Okay, so when Sattler is with the hunter and they find Malcolm, she discovers that Alan isn't there with the kids and everything, so they must be alive. That's kind of fun for her. And so,
how did she get down there?
And how the back fuck up? Did she get down there so quick, man? Which no
we
way.
We gotta go.
Yeah,
hold on. I gotta climb down this 100-foot ravine.
She rappelled,
and then climb back up so we could get into the fucking Jeep while it's raining.
Look at her outfit, man. It's good. It's all good for climbing. Hey, man, it's all good for hiking.
She's rocking that rain slicker.
Uh huh. Yeah, baby.
Yeah, you know. It's wide open. It's not doing much for much else other than her arms. But, you know, she's working it, and I appreciate that.
I want to see it. So when the T-Rex is chasing them, this is my favorite and I think the greatest scream ever captured on film in all of film is by Laura Dern when the T-Rex screams at her and she screams back. It is the most...
Oh, my God.
Terrifying scream I've ever heard in my entire life. It's the most real thing I've ever seen.
You imagine that's what it would sound like if that really happened.
And the same thing, like when Steven Spielberg was like, hey, you're looking at a Brontosaurus right now, just so you know. You know, just react to that. It's like, so in this scene, you're getting chased by a T-Rex, and right in this scene, it screams at you, so just give me another scream that scares you.
Oh, sure thing.
Like, there's gotta
what be, do you say?
There's gotta be something. There's gotta be something of that same thing, like she's seeing right now her character is seeing the animatronic T-Rex for the first time, so maybe that's the thing.
True.
It's like, yeah. maybe they incorporated that in a little bit, you know.
Yeah,
but it's an honest scream. Like, it's she so good. She's terrified. Jeff Goldblum even looks terrified trying to protect. Yeah. And putting an arm in between, you know, kind of doing the mom seatbelt thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I get it. Like, oh man, yeah, it's she sells it.
She really does. And maybe that's where sometimes these movies as adults lose some of their power. If I'm trying to be like, you know, really like, critical. I'm going to look at this, is when these tension filled movies that are just nonstop, one thing after the other, when they resort to like these like little jokes. You know, like when they climb the fence and he's like, count to three, one, two, and then he gets shocked. And then when they finally resuscitate him, he's like, three. It was like, oh, he said he remembered
oh,
it.
Oh, man.
Like, just the little jokes. Like, ah.
Yeah.
What are you trying to do here? Are you just trying to give me a chance to nervous laugh so I can release my tension? Is that what you're trying to do?
I think that's totally it. Yeah. Especially with that. But, like, humor throughout the film, like, especially with Malcolm.
Yeah.
Like, I think I saw a thing with Spielberg. He's like, if you're going to make a movie about dinosaurs coming back to life in modern day, and at this time it's not 93 or whatever, you're gonna have to have a little bit of humor,
just a little bit,
you know, just like it's ridiculous. So we're kind of in on it too, but also we're kind of, you know, keeping it real.
Oh yeah,
right,
well.
Right, yeah.
I mean, yeah, and a lot of stuff going on this. I mean, obviously, so Nedry's dead. They know Nedry's a piece of shit. They're trying to figure shit out. We got Arnold actually like being a hero here, you know. Ray Arnold's figuring shit out, and then he just, they don't ever show it, but he just decides to like, oh, I'm just gonna walk down to the main breaker and I'm just gonna get it turned on, and then next time we see him is his arm, his just, severed just arm. No big deal. Like, that was his demise.
Like, that was such a weird thing to me, because like I thought they were all supposed to be going somewhere together,
yeah,
and it, like he was there with them.
Why didn't they give him a radio?
Right,
like when he went.
but wasn't, I thought he was there with them. Like, he shut it down. They were still standing there.
Yeah,
I didn't quite get that connectivity, that continuity, mm-hmm. of his character and then his departure. I feel like there was something, like he was supposed to go somewhere, but I don't know. I don't understand that part of it, and then the resurgence of just simply his arm, which really did creep me out. It looks very, looks very sweaty and very perturbed. And
I wish they would have put a cigarette between his fingers.
Oh, shit.
I really wish they would have.
Oh my God.
Whose arm is that? Oh, yeah, it's Arnold's.
No, it's still in his mouth. That's what.
We don't know where the rest of that body is.
Right.
Again, there's the raptors just right next to the visitor center and the control center, just busting in, learning how to open doors.
Learning
and just
it. Well, unless I learn how to open doors. We all have a good chuckle, right? And then the next fucking scene. God damn it.
I would like to say, just to backtrack a little bit, when Laura Dern is talking to Hammond, their conversation is really interesting, because she's like, I was overwhelmed by this place when I first saw it, too. Like, overwhelmed by all this power, you know. You'd be so in awe of the impossibility that's in front of you that you might not think of the consequences of what's actually happening. You know, like getting a new puppy. You know, it's just like,
fair.
that's like the epitome of the movie in itself, I guess. It's just like, you're not sure what you have until it kind of backfires on you and kills people, and people
now you
are
don't
dying.
Have an out.
Yeah. And that's kind of what Hammond says too. Is like, are you sure you want to like restart the system? It's going to fuck up everything. Like all your work is going to be done for. He's like, people are dying. We have to do this. You
he's
know?
Still thinking he's going to reopen the park.
Oh, probably. Yeah.
He still thinks there's redemption at that point.
And they very, this is the first time I ever caught on to this. There's like something, a plan, like a backup plan that was worked into the dinosaurs, that essentially they can just enter a code in the computer and the dinosaurs will all blow up and die or something. Yeah. Did you catch on to that?
Yeah, they said that they have to be like, there's something either in the air or there's like that's like dispersing this, or there's something that's happening, and if they don't continue to feed it, then they go kaput.
Hmm. And so they could have easily just said, okay, let's do that.
Yeah.
And then Hyman's like, hold on, we still got a September opening date to plan.
Right.
You know how long it takes to make these dinosaurs?
We don't want to have to push back in November, you know, in Hawaii. That's just, you know, it's not prime.
There are a lot of great moments like that, though, where they continue to be like, the just because you can doesn't mean you should. I do like that. That is a really sentimental scene, too. He's, like, eating the ice cream going.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then this comes back around again. And she,
bad decisions.
She takes a scoop of that ice cream, and she eats it, and she's like, yeah, it's really good. And he then again says,
spared no expense.
He spared no expense.
Yeah, it goes straight to her ass, you know?
Yeah.
It's every time.
Yep.
All right, well, what do you say? Are we going to finish this baby off?
Let's do it.
All right, so final scene. Grant, Tim, and Lex reach the visitor center. Grant heads out to look for Sattler, leaving Tim and Lex inside. Tim and Lex are pursued by the raptors in the kitchen, but they escape and join back up with Grant and Sattler, who have returned. The group reaches the control room, where Lex uses a computer to restore the park's power, allowing Hammond to call for help. As the four try to escape by the front entrance, they are cornered by the raptors, but they escape when the Tyrannosaurus appears and kills the raptors. Hammond arrives in a Jeep with Malcolm, and the group boards a helicopter to leave the island. Poor fucking Timmy, dude.
Yeah. Dude,
Timmy's literally been through the ringer.
He's fucking getting roughed up.
He should be scarred for life, yet there he is, just happily eating ice cream in pure silence in the kitchen. And Jell-O, and having the best time of his life.
That dessert spread is fucking legendary.
Looks good, doesn't
it? Lit, son.
Holy shit.
Hey, the power's out. We gotta eat all this stuff.
Spare no expense.
You know, at this point, we kind of glossed over it a little bit, but the raptors, they do become like this real main antagonist.
They are the villain.
That becomes the villain of this whole...
You thought it was the T-Rex.
You thought it would be the T-Rex. Or Nedry, or whoever, you know, like just being a bitch, but they are, and they're now hunting, and they're free to roam and free to do as they please, and that's really fucking scary, because all they know is hunting, killing, and they're machines for this, and that comes to the demise of Muldoon.
Yep.
Who
clever girl,
and he. God, man.
Thought he was smarter than that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. He should have known. But this is where all that foreshadowing came from the very beginning, when he explained to that kid of how they're going to hunt you.
Yep.
It's not going to be from the one you see out in front of you. It comes from the sides. Mm-hmm. And it's brilliant. You know, I love those little things, those little pieces. And then they're hunting the kids. They're hunting through their... Man, that's another one of those like slasher type flick feels that they're just hunting them through this room.
And no matter where you go, they're gonna be there.
They're there, you know. You can't hide from them, or you know you can only run.
They can't be reasoned with.
They can't be reasoned with. You know, that's terrifying, man. Like, I don't know. I don't know about you guys. I don't think I would have made it out alive.
No,
this.
Dude, no, I would never have made it out alive.
I don't think so, man. Like, I wish I could be like, yeah, no, I think dealing with dinosaurs, I could have probably done this or that. The moment I would have saw like an 8-foot velociraptor coming at me, I would have frozen, pissed myself, and then AJ, watched it eat
AJ,
me.
I would have been like, hey, we would have been hiding behind the kitchen. I would have said, AJ, listen, it's over for us.
Yeah.
Hold my hand. Let's stand up and yell as loud as we can, and let's just get this over.
Yeah.
I'd be like, okay, cool.
All right.
And then we just hold hands, and we go.
You guys.
Ready? Snap. We're dead. Yep. Cool.
And that's us.
I will take the fall for you anytime, okay?
All right.
I will be bait. You guys can live for a little bit longer.
For 2 seconds longer.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. You guys could, you know.
Thanks for saving the show. Oh, I got me too.
They already opened doors, man. We can't fucking.
Record a last episode, you know? That's all I ask for when I'm gone.
We'll finally do the movies you wanted to do.
We do all the movies and
you butcher them.
Oh, great.
I really like the director of this one.
We're doing Phantasm 3. Okay.
Pretty sure that the lighting in the thing is kind of bad, actually. So, yeah.
Didn't get the reviews we thought it did.
Actually, no one's ever seen this. No, that's. But I do. The beauty of it's like when people hate sharks for killing people.
Yeah.
You're like, dude, it's a shark. And this is their world, and you got in it, and they're a predator, and this is what they do. It's like, well, I know this isn't the dinosaurs' world, but it is.
Kind of.
You just brought them to life and put them here.
You put them there, asshole. Like, what the hell do you expect?
I don't care that they killed a bunch of people.
Yeah.
I'm like, go for it. You guys kill.
It's on you, man. Like, you literally have to feed these things a cow every twice a day.
Well, like, speaking of,
you can't tell me like that. Okay, that's just a burden on the meat industry by itself.
Yeah, come on,
but come on, man. Like, and that's what they're hungry for is just live meat.
Yeah,
and you're just gonna bring people to them.
Like, speaking of the T-Rex, like, especially when he's at the Jeep scene or like in the rain scene when we first see him or whatever, he's acting like kind of like a puppy. Like, he's biting at the tire a little bit. And, like, when he eats the lawyer, he's, like, swerving around his mouth and shit like he would a toy, you know? Like, he's having fun with it.
He didn't purposely go, I'm going to kill that guy.
That's her. We should
start her.
Please.
That's her purpose is to hunt, and that's all they do. And when they eat, they have a good time with it.
Yeah. Like, it's like lions are just big cats, dude.
Yeah.
Like,
when they paw at shit, and they like when cats do that too, it's like, you're cute. Cool. I'm allergic. Get the fuck away from me.
Get the fuck away from me.
Unfortunately, when a lion does that to you, it just takes off your arm.
Yeah, no big deal.
You know, whatever.
But that final shot for me really summed this movie up, though. Like, the way the T-Rex comes and saves the day.
Yep.
Sort of in it, like, oh, do we like T-Rex now? This is cool. But then he's standing there and he's destroyed this place, and that when dinosaurs ruled the earth banner comes down. And he roars like that is just
it's pretty iconic. I mean,
oh, that is a cherry on top of that movie.
Yeah.
And it's just like 80s movies, man. You can't hear a helicopter unless you see it.
Yeah.
And just like a T-Rex, you can't hear them roar or see it. You can't see them until they come onto screen.
Yes.
Right.
You know.
But technically it's a little bit of a hero for us at this point. Yeah. And that's fine, I guess, because everyone makes it out. It was supposed to.
Don't worry about it. We made it out.
Yep. The few of them made it out, and apparently they're going to go back and try this again for what, 5 times?
four more times, and then a fifth one.
And then a fifth on the way. So, you know, it does wrap up a little bit nice, I guess. But I don't have a problem with that. It's like, man, after that anxiety attack of a movie, you're going to need some sort of nice bow on this movie. I really do think that.
You're going to want to see some slow-mo shots of some pelicans flying.
Yeah.
And that's all you really need.
Yeah.
Or some slow-mo shots of fat kids flying off the blob.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I wish they were.
They're like sitting on an island. Yeah. Dude, hey, we got a blob.
Camp Hope 2.
You guys want to stop? All right.
Dude. Yeah. I don't know, man. An anxiety trip of a movie that oh my God, thank God it's daylight again, really.
This is me being picky like we do, but
yeah.
Anytime there's like what Timmy just went through in this whole movie and what Dr. Grant just went through in the whole movie, what everybody just went through, and they're just like on the helicopter being like, we should probably get ice cream after this.
Yeah.
And you know what? We should probably have kids.
Ooh. You know what? It would be fun to have kids.
What are you doing?
Then we can try to like pull them along in these terrifying situations again.
Maybe this year for Christmas we'll invite Lex and Timmy over. What do you say?
Oh yeah, you can make that special lasagna that you make. Oh, that's good. That's what they're thinking about in the helicopter. Absolutely. Not the fact they just escaped.
Timmy killed himself because of the trauma of this experience.
Yeah.
Timmy doesn't do well later in life. No. Let's be honest.
He has scars all over his body to remind him on his hands, burned and scarred like Jesus.
In bloody
In bloody ears. He was bleeding out of his ears
We don't even know how that happened.
The concussions and like all the things like, he got a pretty nasty shock there. No, he fell 25 feet. That's what happened to him, and he's bleeding out of his ears from a concussion, okay?
They're trying to get back to whoever the fuck and trying to get out of there, and then Grant's just like, dudes, check out these eggs.
Yeah. That kid is sterile and pissing blood until he's 40.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. It's bad.
Well, you got anything else to talk about?
Life finds a way.
Life finds a way, you guys.
Finds a way.
Let's we've gone through it. Let's give it that modern day rating now. You know, we stripped away that nostalgia. We tried to think about it in an adult way. AJ, what's your rating after this watch?
God, this movie's fucking intense.
It is, man.
That's the thing. That's my rating of it, man. And it's literally like I say, as an adult watching this, I had such a almost tough time rewatching it still.
Science will say it's going to be tough.
It's going to be tough. And but you know what? It still holds up. It's still a really good movie. It's still wonderful graphics. You know, they do like the digital remasterings and shit like that, but it still holds up. I still don't question it or anything like that. You know, I didn't have any reason to or feel the need to throughout these last watches. So I'm gonna stick with an 8.3.
So you went down 0.2.
Yeah.
What about you, Sean?
Yes, this movie holds up 100%. I think it's a masterpiece in cinema. It changed a lot of things for filmmaking in general, like special effects, CGI, especially. It's masterfully made at all aspects, the sound, the directing, the lighting and everything like that. Animatronics, Stan Winston fucking did an amazing job. These things still hold up and look like they're fucking dinosaurs for real on screen. And I can't imagine what that was like as an actor to just be like, actually look at a dinosaur screaming at them for real. It's a masterpiece. It's a
9.5. Love it, dude. Yeah, for me, like, just dinosaurs were never, like, a huge thing. I was never that kid that was like, oh, dinosaurs, I want to learn them all. And this movie really was just, like, a nonstop, just, wow. You know, I felt like I had to take just a breather afterwards.
Yeah.
But anytime a movie like this starts such a mega franchise, you have to applaud it. And it is still amazing. The special effects, the acting is incredible. So I was a 5.5. I'm moving up to a 7 for sure. Yeah, cool. I'm increasing.
Rock on.
So yeah, so that's where we're at. We hope you enjoyed this episode. We really appreciate you being here. Again, this movie's not available on any free streaming apps as of middle of July 2021, but you can obviously go buy it. You need to have this in your repertoire anyway, so go buy it.
Got to.
Tune in next Wednesday. We will be heading back to Mini Bite Land, and we're reviewing one of my favorite Nickelodeon shows of all time, The Adventures of Pete and Pete. Also, I toyed around with a little surprise I might have for you, so we'll check that out then.
Okay.
And following that, we're back on the movie reviews. Sean's pick is up, and we're getting there. We knew we were going to do it.
It's summer movies, man.
It's
we
there.
Gotta do it.
Summer Daddy. Movies. Oh, Stand Daddy. By Me. Mm-hmm. It's going to be awesome. We hope you continue hanging out with us each and every Wednesday. We love having you. AJ, take us out, baby.
Guys, thank you so much for listening to us once again. Week after week, you're here with us, and we love it so much. Because you're listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, CastBox, and everywhere in between that you could possibly listen to a podcast. But on top of that, you also rated us, reviewed us, subscribed, clicked the like button, whatever it takes on the platform that you have to show your appreciation for the work that we're doing. Other than that, make sure you're joining in on the conversations and catching all the amazing content that a couple of my best friends do. On Facebook, facebook.com/confusedbreakfast, Instagram @confusedbreakfast, the amazing TikTok @confusedbreakfast, and Twitter, confusedbfast.
Don't forget about that voicemail, 319-804-9596. Yeah, baby. Sean, where can everybody find you, man?
Let's do Sean Pryor 237 at on
at on
all on Instagram, and find me on Letterboxd if you like. And do TikTok for the same if you want to.
Oh, yeah. Do that. What about you, Age?
AJAYVENS. Anywhere on the internets or social media, AJAYVENS, AJ Vens.
I invented a new lawn chair.
You did, really?
Yeah, it's a very portable lawn chair. It contours to your body. It's called holdontoyourbutts.com.
Yeah.
It's a nice chair thing, so go check good. That out.
I really need
it's
something.
Not a porno site.
I really need something. I want to feel hands.
Yeah.
Just like literally supporting my butt.
The hand chairs almost.
How'd you know what
like
my
that?
Idea was?
Shit, well.
Shit, man.
Adirondackosaurus. Oh.
I can't use trombone.
Damn it.
Fucking hate that.
We'll see you next time. Goodbye.